Tuesday the 8th of June, Kof Vov Sivan, Dr. Sholem Springer, Korach's vision or lack of it.
Good morning, gentlemen. I fear I brought you here on somewhat false pretenses, since the title you just heard does not correspond with the title that was advertised. What I discovered when I was just being besotted myself last night is that I had given that talk called Beyond Reason last year, June 09, and therefore, rather than conduct a test to see whether you remember anything of it, I decided to put together something else, and therefore we're going to have a share on the parasha, and hopefully it will be equally stimulating. I'm reminded of a story of the Pani Vetarov. He gave a drosha or a shira to town, in a certain town, and the next day he had to give another shear in a local town not very far away, and he thought he'd give the same shear. And as he stood up, he saw the people, that many of them were recognisable as the people that were there at his shear yesterday. So he thought, well, I can't give the same shear because they were all here yesterday. So he decided to give another shear, but Ponovich Rob can do that. Anyway, after the shear, these people came up to him and said, we came again because we hoped you were going to hear the same shear. Okay. Vayikach, Korach, Ben Yitzchok, Ben Kos, Ben Levi. You all know the story of Korach and his attempted revolution against Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll start with that assumption. We all know the story and the basic psukim involved in that. And quote a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuftes, so those of you who are doing Daf Yomi will be very familiar with this Gemara, because I believe it's just the end of Sanhedrin now, in the Daf Yomi cycle. Omer Resh Lakish, Shelokach Mekach Ra La'atzmoy. That Korach took a Mekach Ra, in other words, playing on the words, Vayikach Korach, what did he take? He took a bad deal. Now this is a very strange expression, since a Mekach usually implies that when two people are involved in a sale or a transaction, each one gets something. One gives, one gets, the other one gives, the other one gets. So there's usually a two-way process. But it appears here that Korach didn't get very much for his revolution. In fact, he lost everything. He lost everything, and of course Rashi brings this, the Midrashim are full of what he lost, down to the last pin. If somebody is wearing a pin belonging to Korach, it would escape from his clothes and sort of roll its way into the hole. Nothing of Korach, no zecher, no shrid or polit was left from Korach. The people, the things, the property, everything went down into the black hole. So Korach didn't make anything out of his deal, good or bad. So why does Resh Lakish describe Vayikach Korach, that Korach made a mekach ra? Mekach does not seem to be the appropriate word to use. Now, if we have a look at one of the psukim, Rashi tells us the following. Pasuk Zayin, we're told, does I, that Rashi says, Dovah Godoil, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. So Moshe is talking to Korach, and he's saying, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, Dovah Godoil Omarti Lachem, I've said something important. V'loi tipshim hoyu, they weren't stupid. Shekach Yisrabem v'kiblo aleim l'kariv, Elohim chotu al nafshosom. They sinned against their own understanding of what's right and wrong. Shnema esmachtoi sachatoim bo'eile b'nafshosom. Because they understood basically what was right and wrong, and they sinned against their own, so to speak, right and wrong moral instincts. The Korach shepikeach hoyo, ma ro l'shtuzeh. What did Korach see in this? Korach was a pikeach. He was an intelligent person, a wise person, a clever person. And as we shall see, he had more than that. He had more talents than even wisdom and brain power. Einoi hata'osoi. Well, here we get the title. His vision led him down. Einoi hata'osoi. Ro shalsheles gedula yotzim menu. He saw in the future that shalsheles gedula, there were great people going to come out from him, that he were going to be his descendants. Shmuel, Sheshokel Keneged Moshe V'Aaron, as an example, Shmuel, yeah, who was considered equal to Moshe and Aaron. Oma b'shviloi ani nimlot. I can see in the future that wonderful things are going to come from me. In other words, I am the progenitor of fantastic parts of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's obvious that I am the one who's going to be saved. I am going to survive this. V'chuf dalet mishmoris, ondois mibnei bonov, and 24 mishmoris, who were Nevi'im, that were going to be his descendants. Kolam misnabim beruach hakodesh. All of them had nevius and ruach hakodesh. So therefore, he decided that I am the one who is really chosen. Kol ei lebonim lehemon. Haman was a grandson, according to Divrei Yomim, grandson of Korah. Omar Efshe kol agudul azoy sasidim lama bimenu ani adai. Is all that greatness going to come from me, and I will remain sort of shtum, I'll remain without anything? No. Lekach nishtatev lovoy la'oysa chazoka sheshoma pi Moshe, because he'd heard from Moshe, shekulam oivdim ve'echod nimlat. All of these people, all his gang, all his chevra, were going to be destroyed, except one would survive. And he made a calculation. Asher yivcha Hashem hu ha-kodesh, hu ha-kodesh baruch hu chooses, he'll be the one who is kodesh. Tor v'tolo ba'atzmai. He made a mistake, and he thought he was going to be the one. Don't we all think we're going to be the one? But lo yiro yofer, he did not see well. Lefisha bonov osa tshuva, says Rashi, that he didn't understand, he didn't see how this will work properly. Moshe hoyo roya. But Moshe saw correctly. What I'm going to tell you is basically based on Sefer Zeis Ra'anon, the Hagon Mikutna brought in the Be'er Yosef. I've actually heard it, Hashem this Godel. And it's the most interesting sort of philosophical idea of what exactly is going on here. If Korach did see all this greatness that we've just read about in this quite long Rashi, and he had this illustrious future, why didn't it tucker save him? Why didn't Korach tucker survive? After all, he was going to be the originator, or progenitor of all this gedula, all this greatness of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, one would have assumed that it would have saved him. And the answer is that it is the reason of why his future took place, of what happened, that was a result of his Aveira, that's why the future took place. In other words, it wasn't because of him, so to speak, but in spite of him. On the other hand, that the fact is that because of what he did, as I shall explain, there was this great gedula that came later, because he made inadvertently this tremendous Kiddush Hashem. In other words, that wasn't his intention, but the fact is, the earth did open its mouth, the earth did swallow everything, everybody saw this astoundingness as a result of Korach's action. And therefore, there was a tremendous chizuk in Klal Yisrael of Emunah in Hashem, Emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact is that Korach was the catalyst, Korach was the agent for a tremendous boost in Klal Yisrael. In fact, although this was never Korach's intention, he didn't mean to make this Kiddush Hashem, the fact is that it is through his action that this Kiddush Hashem was brought about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not deny any Bria something that he is deserving, no matter whether he intended it, didn't intend it, if something good came out of it, the Rabbi Shmuel will find a way of giving that person a reward. So even though Korach did a terrible thing, certainly, he had all this chutzpah against Moshe Rabbeinu, hikrish nuvu osoy v'toyrosoy, he denied Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu being the true agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the expressions that we're so familiar with in the psukim, which I won't read. And for that reason, of course, his punishment is truly awesome, and indeed, very original. I mean, this has never happened before, never happened since. That posor is as pior, that the earth should open its mouth, so to speak, and swallow all Korach's Fanem, all that Korach was and had commanded at the time. This is an amazing miracle, and of course this was at the request of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there must be a test here, there's got to be a special test, that if Korach v'adosei, if they die a natural death, then that will prove that I am not your agent, I am not your appointed one, all in the psukim. On the other hand, if he dies a totally unnatural death, then it will prove that I am the Shliach Hashem. And so it was. So, in fact, Korach was the catalyst for this momentousness, and despite the fact that his intentions weren't correct, nevertheless, he caused a chizuk in the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Heimomru, Moshe Emes, Vasarosa Emes, in that story, in the Gemara, where they listened to the Bnei Korach in the desert, talk about it a little later on if we have time. But the fact is, what they could hear through a little hole in the ground was that they're intoning continuously Moshe Emes v'Sarosa Emes, and so therefore that brought about this tremendous boost in the story of Klal Yisrael going out of the Midbar, and a strengthening of the Nevuasai Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So he is the Shliach in that sense. So for that consequence, he gets, in inverted commas, Schar. He gets Schar. And the Schar that Korach gets is, of course, Shmuel and the Kuftal of Mishmorais, all those things that I mentioned that he saw, those are his, so to speak, reward for the terrible Aveira that he did, but because of the consequence of the Aveira was a boost to Klal Yisrael, therefore he had a reward. In other words, he personally had nothing. But on the other hand, there was an exchange. There was something that he got for his efforts. He got for his efforts that later on there would be Shmuel. Later on there would be Kuftal and Mishmaris. So therefore we understand the Loshon of Mekach a little bit better. And we have other examples of this sort of phenomenon going on. So it's not unique. The Gemara... Sorry? Yeah, that's right. The Gemara in Gittin. B'nei Bonov Shel Homon Lomdu Torah B'nei Brak. B'nei Bonov, the grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren of Homon, were teaching Torah in B'nei Brak. So even though I think we needn't emphasize the point too much, the Homon never intended this, somehow. However, the fact is that after the Homon story, Mordechai, Esther, and Klal Yisrael did something, Kima B'Kiplu, they reenacted something that went on at Har Sinai, and so there was a tremendous boost to Klal Yisrael, and that came about through Homon, although he didn't get anything out of it, of course, and Korach similarly didn't get anything out of it, but the fact is that the Rebbeinu Shem recognizes, so to speak, a balance sheet must balance, and at the end of the day, if somebody's done something that lands up in the Toivah, then the Rebbeinu Shem has his way of finding a way to reward that person, even though it's sort of vicarious, even though it's very, very distant from the person himself, but nevertheless, that person is now associated with that good. So Korach is associated with Shmuel, Korach is associated with Kuftad and Mishmaris, who were all Nevi'im. And once again, referring to that story, the story of Purim, in Gilu Yudale, the Gemara says there, G'doyle Hasoros Tabas, that the actual removal of the ring from Achashverosh's finger to Haman's finger, that did more than Ma'aboy Meshmoyne Nevi'im V'zayin Nevi'os. All those collection of Nevi'im who were trying to exhort Klal Yisrael to do tshuva and mend their ways, nothing helped. What helped? I think someone, some great general once said, there is nothing like the threat of execution to concentrate a man's mind. And so true. The Hasoras Tabas, where there was a threat of execution, began to concentrate the minds of the Jewish people. So G'doyle Hasoras Tabas, that the effect of the removal of the ring from Achashverosh's finger onto Amon's finger did more than all the efforts of the Nevi'im and the Nevi'os collectively put together, all of them did not manage to get Klal Yisrael to reverse its ways, but that one removal did. So in other words, there is an act there that was an act of rishus, no doubt about it. They planned terrible things for Klal Yisrael, like Achashverosh and Haman. Nevertheless, the fact is that out of that came a resurgence, a rebirth of our nation. And so we have to be grateful, or at least Rabbi Shalom has to be grateful for that, and he is in his own way. So, similarly, the Gemara also says, B'nei Bonov Shel Sisera, there was also a Rosha, was a general, in the Devoira story, B'nei Bonov Shel Sancheirev. So we get this idea again and again, that although we have these Roshoim, the Rebbeinu Shem remembers, through his balance sheet, through his Cheshbonos, that if some good came out of these people, then they have got to be, so to speak, rewarded in some way. Now I will say, of course, there are difficulties involved with this whole philosophical concept, which I won't discuss any further now, other than to look at some other part of the Korach story, and they are dealt with in the Kedushas Levi. In fact, the Be'er Yosef brings it as a footnote, what the Kedushas Levi says, and this is discussed. But on the other hand, there's plenty of rites, four or five rites that I brought. Now, this is a concept which is accepted in Chazal. So, the sum of what we've just been saying is that Korach was rewarded on account of the ness that happened because of him, because of his efforts, so to speak. But he erred. He made a terrible mistake. His vision that we talked about, that he saw Shmuel, he saw the Kaftad of Mishmoris, he could see in the future, at Ruach HaKodesh, so despite Pikeach Hoyo, even though he was an intelligent man, had all rest, he also had Ruach HaKodesh. And he could see in the future, and he could see that Shmuel would come from him. And that's what made him make a mistake. And it was the very Koyach that he had, that most of us don't have at all. We can't see in the future. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. The fact that he had Ruach HaKodesh, that was the element that made him make a mistake. And the question is, how does this work? So he thought he was going to be the single survivor. Similarly, we have a similar case with Bathsheba, the story of Bathsheba and David. These people are tzaddikim. These people are on a very high level. David, of course, who needs to comment on David? So what was the Aveira of Bathsheba? Not to go into the story, Chazal tell us, and the Mephoshim tell us, especially the latter-day Mephoshim, the Ramadeslas of this world, and all the other Mephoshim and Bale Ashkofa of that era, they tell us this single principle, that all these great people are mentioned in Tanakh. They don't make gross errors like we do. You know, that Tava gets the better of them and all that. They don't make those sort of gross errors. They make misjudgments. They judge things, and they see more, and they make a misjudgment. So, clearly, David HaMelech saw that his destiny lay with Bathsheba. This was the lady he needed for his aliyah, for his progression in Yiddishkeit. He saw that, and that was so true. That was very true. On the other hand, what he did was make an error in, so to speak, in the timing. He jumped the gun. So in other words, with that vision that he had, which was correct, he drew a conclusion which was incorrect. If you don't have complete vision, you should have waited, should have acted Alpi Torah, that's this moment, it was complete, wasn't completely Alpi Torah. And similarly, we have so many cases like that where the people involved who do, so to speak, averus in the Torah, it is not a question so much as being overcome by their own instincts, by their gross animal instincts at all, it is usually a misjudgment of some sort. And so what's happening is this. Let me try and explain it in my own way. What they seem to be telling us is that these tzaddikim, and let's put Korach among these people, who was a very dahibene mensch, a person of great talent, great ability, great gifts, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw a glimpse of the future. Yes, he did, most certainly. And he imagines and thinks that if I can see the future, and the future is great, that must mean that I can ride on that future, that I can count on that future to make sure that I am going to be the survivor. I must be Roy, otherwise I wouldn't have that future. The future tells me of what the present is. And therefore the present is that I am the one who is really chosen because of my illustrious future. And where he makes a mistake is that the future doesn't always tell you about the past or about the present. The future may be true, and so Konrad's vision was absolutely correct in that sense. But what he couldn't do is trace back that vision and find out all the steps that were making up that vision in order to come to its conclusion. He couldn't work that vision backwards and reach himself. He imagined that because he saw the end result, therefore the result that he thought was the conclusion of that, which was that I must be great, I must be Roy, that is wrong. And that marks him out differently from Moshe and others, other great Nevi'im, who really do have an accurate vision of the future and also of how the present influences the future. Korach couldn't see how the present influences the future. He could only see the future and draw his conclusions. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, sees the whole picture. And makes it very, very different. In other words, it's the now action, says Korach, that I have in mind. The now must be informed by the future. Not necessarily so, because the future can come about through very many different causes. And if you don't know the cause by which the future has come about, you may be choosing the wrong result. That may not be the cause. And in the case of Korach, we know now that this wasn't the cause. It wasn't because he was so great. It's because he's in his Aveira. That he couldn't see. He couldn't understand. He couldn't see the fact that his Aveira will actually cause the future that he's seeing. So in other words, the picture and how the result works out in the whole of the matter is extremely important. Let me give you a sort of story that I once heard. They illustrate the point that the form, so to speak, and the style is also very important. You've got to see it all in the way that you think you see it on the one hand, and maybe it's completely mistaken on the other. The story is of a hunter who put on his rifle on his shoulder, and he was going to go out hunting a bear. He strides into the forest and eventually comes to a clearing, and there across the clearing is an enormous, gigantic grizzly bear. So, this is what he's been out to do. This is what he's come out this morning to do. So he takes off his rifle from his shoulder. He takes aim at the bear. And the bear looks at the hunter and says, "Stop," says the bear. "What do you want?" So the hunter says, "I want a fur coat." "Fair enough," says the bear. "And you know what I want? I want a nice warm dinner." Let's sit here and talk about it. So both the hunter and the bear sat down under the great oak tree and discussed it. 1 hour later, the bear gets up alone. He's had his nice warm dinner. And the hunter has his fur coat. You see, it doesn't always turn out because we see a vision. It doesn't always mean we've got to get it in the way we imagine. So we now understand Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said to us, Shelokach mekach ra la'atzmoy. We asked, you received nothing? And the answer is, he did. He got his schar, not the way he thought, but in a different way, an entirely different way, so to speak. Got his fur coat. Through the Aveira, but it was a bitter schar, of course, since he yarshened Gehenim. And therefore, the way the whole picture pans out, to see the whole picture is extremely important. And basically, our hadrocha, our guidance, is, am I drawing a conclusion that is with the Torah, in the flow of the Torah, or am I drawing a conclusion from my Ruach HaKodesh, which is Keneged HaTorah? And this is the mistake of Korach. He had his vision, he saw the future, and he drew a conclusion which was Neged HaTorah. So therefore, despite his madregas, despite his malus, and this mala of Ruach HaKodesh is listed among Pinchas Ben Yoyah, all the malas of the great people. But sometimes these very abilities cause the mishil. You know, they cause the stumbling. You've got to know how to use your talents. You've got to know how to use your abilities. So if my vision, albeit it might be correct of the future, causes me to act neged Hashem, neged the Torah, then the end result is not just punishment, but in fact I'm denied, or Korach was denied, Tehillas HaMesim. So it was this very mila that he had, which gave him the conviction for this court, this particular course, and without this mila, he would have been afraid to take on Moshe Rabbeinu. It's only because he had this Ruach HaKodesh, and because he thought he could see in the future, and because he imagined that the future was as he thought it was going to be, and therefore the conclusion was that I must be Roy, that's what gave him, the so to speak, the courage, the Dutch courage, the false courage, in order to take on Moshe Rabbeinu. And we have, in the final sort of minutes of this year, something similar in joining last week's Sedra with this week's, we have a similar idea with the Meraglim. Because we're told that the Meraglim were very great people, yeah? They were very important people, they were princes of their tribes. And so Maror, what did they see that they came back with this bad report? What was it? Everybody knows the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that although they were Nasiim in the desert, they saw that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they will no longer have their position. They will be deposed in some way. Now they saw correctly. Absolutely correctly. But something similar is going on to what we're talking about in relation to Korach. Because they saw that they won't have their positions in Eretz Yisrael. You're right, you won't. But not for the reasons you think. They thought that there was something going on in the Midbar, and therefore they were roy for those positions. But something else. There's a change of administration in Eretz Yisrael, so they will be put down. So therefore they will be taken away from their positions. That's what they thought. So they thought it's better if we stay in the desert. Because if we stay in the desert, then we will continue to have our nasius. Once again, Einov, Einom Hateoson. Their eyes deceived them because they did see correctly, but not for the reasons that they thought. Not because they were going to be stood down from their positions, but because they did an Aveira, and that means they would have to stay in their Midbar for 40 years, and they would die then, but Taka not have their positions in Eretz Yisrael. So they saw it correctly, but drew the wrong conclusions. So we have something very, very similar going on there. So the Meraglim, Tzadikim as they were, had this vision of the future. That's what the Medrash tells us, blinded them into rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. Caused enormous damage to themselves and to Klal Yisrael. And we know that what we learned last week and what Chazal tell us, that when Klal Yisrael believed the Meraglim and they sat there and they cried, the Rabbeinu Shloim said, Atem bechisem bechiyo shel chinom, you have cried for absolutely nothing. Here was a golden opportunity to take on board the message, or at least the information of the Meraglim. And the Meraglim's information was that the people are strong, and their cities are walled, and they have tremendous firepower, and they're tremendously strong. What should have been the reaction of Klal Yisrael? This is a wonderful land. They're strong, they're healthy, everything's going fantastic, but look at these fruits. That was the information they were getting back. What should Klal Yisrael have said in response to that? And so therefore we're extra grateful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us this land. That's what their reaction should have been. Instead, they wrote HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the script. All of a sudden he wasn't there anymore. This is a strong land. How are we going to do it? Was their reaction. So whereas the response could have been, and this then would have been Nishrash in Klal Yisrael, that our reaction to any problem is, we have no problem because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is on our side, and that then could have been our legacy in the Dairois. Instead, the legacy that we were left with, we're confronted with a problem, all of a sudden the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, is out of the window. He's just not here. How are we going to take this land? They're stronger than us. And therefore, that's why, it's one of the explanations as to why it's the Chila Dairois. Why should it be Bechila Doiris? Why should we live with that legacy forevermore? They should have been punished. They were punished. They stayed 40 years in the wilderness. And they had to be there. And then they died. That should have been punishment enough. No, it's Bechila Doiris. Not because it's a punishment, Bechila Doiris. It's a consequence. It's a consequence of having that as a characteristic of Klal Yisrael ever since the Maisa of the Meraglim. So, coming back to our subject, very briefly, Moran Brochus, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when Yeshaya was chiding Chizkiyahu, he says, "Sul beischa ki meis ato v'loy tichya." That's what Yeshaya says to Chizkiyahu. And the Pirush is, "Meis ato boinam azeh." You're going to die in this world. V'loy tichya boinam abo. Because otherwise we have a problem. Meis, tichya, obviously, if one, not the other. So this is boinam azeh, and that's boinam abo. Mishum deloy osakto b'piri v'rivya. Because you have stayed a bachelor, and he was loyal sakta b'peri v'rivya, omalei. So he gave his excuse. Mishum d'chazoi li b'ruach ha-kodesh. Because I could see b'ruach ha-kodesh nafki minoi b'nov d'loiv ma'ol. I could see that I'm going to have future sons who are wicked, who are not good. So I thought, I will forestall the future, and I won't be loyal b'peri v'rivya, and therefore this will obviate these sons. Omalei Yishai. So Yishai says to him, b'hada kovshid ha-kodesh baruch hu, Sesorim da Kodesh Baruch Hu, says Rashi, the hidden places of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is not your business. My, the Mifkadato, where your duty lies, Iboy Lach Lema'ovit. That's what you should be doing. You should do your duty. Never mind about the future. And what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, and the way he works his world, Liovet, HaKadosh Baruch. So the duty is, and the lesson is, we've got to do ours. We've got to do our duty. And even if you have vision, extra vision, supervision, or whatever, of the future, you cannot use that vision of the future to decide what I do now. Torah tells us, Perivivia, and so that's what we've got to do. And if it's right, then it's correct. What I do now is Alpi Torah. If it's wrong, then it's wrong and always remains wrong. But one man got it right. One man saw into the future and did get it right. And that is the case, of course, of Moshe Rabbeinu when he went out on the second day and he smote the Egyptian. And it says in the Pasuk, Vayifin Koy Bachay. He looked this way, he looked that way. I'll be pashtus, of course, he looked to see if anybody was watching. And of course, there were people watching, but he didn't see them. Vayifin Koy Bachay is a brush. He looked down the doyrus. He looked down all the doyrus and saw from this Egyptian, no good is going to come out of it. So once again, we are using the future to inform the past, but Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Moshe Rabbeinu has a picture of all the Doiros, of the whole picture, gets it right. Gets it right, and therefore he could take the action that he did, because he can see the whole picture. It's only when we have partial vision that we can't draw conclusions because of what we've talked about. And as Rashi says, that Koirach Einov Hata'osoi, Moshe Hoyo Roya. Moshe could see clearly, and that makes it very, very different. Wish you all a good day.